one word that I can describe that game, and that was wow.
I went to this game. I paid $8 a ticket, and I want my money back.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the post-week one edition of View from Section 323, and we made it. We made it. There's no hiccups. There was no COVID tests. There was no anything. We made it fresh 1 week, one weekend. All the games were played. No blemishes. I think they said that on Saturday, everybody passed their COVID tests. So hopefully that's a trend that continues.
Super great.
Super. So... we got two games. We got two losses. It already starts to feel.
Two games is out of the eight quarters that were played, I think two quarters of them were watchable football.
Which two quarters did you like the best?
Well, I mean, we're gonna start with the Giants, so I think that's probably what I was implying, Phil. I mean, the first half of football. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Was a very good competitive first half. I mean, I think
yes, it was surprisingly.
I part of the challenge I think is just the Giants are. They're new. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say with this. Now, obviously, we're not going to make any excuses. We know what we saw yesterday, but I think we mentioned last week about no preseason. Now, I was not a proponent of no preseason. Certain teams, and you can clearly tell the Giants are one of them, needed a preseason, a new coach, new coordinators, new schemes, new defense. I mean, you can't just throw all that together in a couple of mini camp practices and think it's going to work. That's where preseason, I think, was beneficial and was missed here because it needs to be repetition. And that was just missed. That was the first takeaway because we saw some pretty big blemishes, but we also saw some, I saw some pretty good signs of hopefully things to come. But yeah, like you said, overall the first half overall was competitive. I think it ended up being 16-10 at the half, but yeah. There was also a lot of missed opportunities. I mean, when the Giants go seven plays on that first drive and punt it. They get a gift wrap ball on the 4 yard line or whatever it was, and you settle for a field goal. You say over and over and over again, you can't settle for field goals in that situation.
Yeah, I mean it's missed opportunities, right? Like that's one set. The other one was when they drove the ball and they possessed the ball for I think like 8 or 9 minutes, and Daniel Jones goes back to throw the ball. He was rolling out to his left and. You know, he gets hit just as he's throwing it. Now, I don't know where he's throwing it because, I mean, if you look at where he was trying to throw it, there was like seven Steelers there and two Giants, unless he was trying to throw it out of the back of the end zone.
Could be.
It could be. But, you know, he ends up getting picked off there.
That was so disheartening.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity right there, considering how well they were driving the ball down the field. I will say this is, you know, you said that they're new. I get that. Whatever happens moving forward with this team, I mean, you saw a little bit of hope. Their defense played well for two quarters, but I think, you know, once Ben started to get rolling and they couldn't stop him. I think the biggest thing that we need to concern ourselves with from a Giants perspective is this offensive line is still not super great. And Daniel Jones needs to hold on to the ball and he needs to make better decisions with the ball. If Saquon is not going to be able to get production, this team will go nowhere.
Oh, agreed. Completely agree with that.
Maybe it's a product of the Steelers front just being so good, and they are a very good defense. Nobody fool you on that one. They are a good team. But Saquon can't run for what he ran for.
There were a couple of handoffs there where the defensive guy was there at the same time Barkley was getting the handoff. I mean, that just once or twice a game, all right, that's a mistake. I mean, this was over and over and over again. Like it was hard to watch. One of the graphics they showed, he had 7 rushes for -7 yards. I mean, it was awful. I think that was the
Saquon ended up with 15 carries for 6 yards. Again, if Daniel Jones is going to be your leading rusher, you will not win many football games. It's that simple. Saquon Barkley is too talented. And if this team is going to become completely one-dimensional, which, again, maybe it's a product of the defense that they're playing, but you know they only ran the ball 20 times. He threw the ball 41 times.
Well, because they couldn't run the ball. I think they got to a point.
But you became completely one-dimensional, and you said, okay, Daniel Jones is going to beat us with his arms, with his arm, and you know as well as I do, when you're turning the ball over and you're fumbling the ball and you get two interceptions, that's not going to win football games. It's just not. Trust me, I'm a Jets fan. I get it.
Yeah. No, that first interception, I forget the guy who intercepted it. I mean, when they showed the replay, I don't think any of us saw him. It's almost like he was hiding behind the defensive line, and Daniel Jones throws the ball, and boom, this guy just jumps out of the air and catches it. I mean, that's – I guess that one's on him.
T.J. Watt.
Oh, it was Watt that did it? Yeah. All right, so it's almost like he jumped out of nowhere and caught the ball. Like, that was a – that he just clearly didn't see him. All right, so that's on him. You know, the one after the 19-yard drive, or the 19-play drive, yeah, he got his hand hit. He probably should have gotten the ball, gotten rid of the ball a little earlier. That was so disheartening, because that would have made it 16-17 at that point if they had scored that touchdown. And just that was after that, it's almost like the wheels fell off. You know, that was such a good drive, and it was such a, you know, they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't do anything for a couple of those punt, punt, punt. And you finally get this great long drive, which that's one of the things I'm alluding to is, you know, there's a couple of glimmers of hope, because as good as that defense is, and it's very good, you were able to move the ball down the field little bit by little bit by little bit, you know, for almost 9 minutes. You know, hopefully one of those plays pops. That throw that he hit Slayton on, what was it, the 40-something yard touchdown, that was beautiful. That was good to have back. So you can see there's little glimmers of hope here and there, but overall it's obviously there's a lot of holes. But I kind of have a feeling it's a really good defense, obviously, of Pittsburgh, and just the fact that there's not enough time yet for these guys to gel. You got Andrew Thomas, who was picked as a first-round draft pick and had to move to left guard because Nate Solder opted out. Will Hernandez is in his second year. I forget the center's name, but he's new. Kevin Zeitler is in his second year. And then Cameron Fleming. I mean, did you see the play where Cameron Fleming was trying to guard two guys? He missed both of them and almost took him, you know, almost did a spin around himself. And then that's the one that Daniel Jones got sacked on.
Yeah, he got popped on that one. The guy just came in and was completely untouched.
Yeah, he watched one guy go by him, then he watched the other guy go by him, and then he literally, like, you know, did a spin-a-rooney there.
Yeah, it's, you know, you talk about teams that needed a preseason game or two. The Giants were definitely one of them.
Absolutely.
But if you look around the league, there was some really good football though.
Yes.
Like, regardless, I know it's only one week, but I mean, you could clearly tell the teams that are going to be competitive in this league, and you can clearly tell the other half of the league is going to be
not
just no good.
I wonder if that's going to be a go forward thing that all the players, like, see, we don't need preseason games, because you're right, that was the first week one in as long as I can remember that just was not completely sloppy and unwatchable, full of flags, just full of, you know, bad offense. And usually they say the defense is ahead of the offense in the beginning of the year because the offense needs time to click. That's not what we saw on Monday. I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers throwing four touchdowns. They put up 40-something points. Minnesota was catching up. You know, they were staying right with them. I thought there was a lot of good football on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the teams that kind of surprised were, you know, Arizona beating San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco holding a lead again, and Jimmy Garoppolo just not making the throws. And Kyler Murray played unbelievable. So I mean, that in itself, I mean, he basically, you know, he ran for 100 yards and threw for another two something. So yeah, I think Arizona kind of showed a couple people. I think even though they lost, Joe Burrow played great against
San Diego or LA Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers. I think there's a lot of upside there. I still think they're they're at least a year away. But Joe Burrow just alone is if he plays anything like he played the week one, you know, they should be able to keep him in the game, into some games. So
yeah.
Going back to the Giants, you know, they got a tough schedule. They got a defense that's not very good. Again, the defense I think played better than what people were expecting them to, but it doesn't get any easier for the Giants. I mean, they got to play Chicago, and Chicago was dead to rights before the fourth quarter, and then Trubisky decided that he wanted to show up and play like he did a couple of years ago and threw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to beat the Lions.
Yeah, I listen, if you're going to – I think the Chicago Bears are going to be a couple steps down from what the what they experienced on Monday night, but if you're going to steal a game in these next few ones, I think this is the one that you're going to steal.
Yeah, Chicago's defense is still pretty good, though.
It's okay. I mean, Matt Stafford was kind of throwing the ball all over the place, and that was without Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I hear you, but at the same time, I mean, if the Giants can't get this running offense going, they are going to be one-dimensional, and they're going to force Daniel Jones to beat them with his arm. And then the question becomes, is he ready to do that? Is he ready to make the next step? He had some great throws. That deep pass at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, to Slayton.
I forgot who. Yeah, that was a great throw.
Right on the money.
I don't know too many. Yeah, but I don't know too many more great throws that I saw him make.
Well, because right? Everything was he had to get the ball out so quickly. He didn't have time. I go back to that very first drive, or actually the second drive when they recover the fumble. That was a timing route because if Evan Engram turns his head a couple seconds earlier, I mean the ball was literally right there, and Engram just. He ran the wrong route or he wasn't there, whatever, but that right off the bat, there's a missed opportunity right there. Yep. It's weird. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses.
Missed opportunities against good football teams will lead to losses.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, you can't – there's a lot of things that if the ball bounces the other way, who knows what would have happened. Now, would they have won the game? Who knows, but it would have been – the score would have been a lot different and it would have felt a lot different. You know, I was just had this pulled up here for a second. The Steelers started out punt, field goal, punt. You know, it took them to their fourth possession to score a touchdown. So, you know, they were getting a little pressure on Ben. They were sacking him a few times. So it wasn't like, you know, the Steelers came out here and just ran all over him from the get-go. It took them a few series. But even then, they didn't really run away with the game. Till about midway of the third quarter, it was 26-10. Up until then it was a one score game for a while, but
they played well for two quarters and I was pleasantly surprised with their productivity and the product on the field for the first half. But again, I think that you can only contain Ben so much, and he clearly a different quarterback than he's been the last couple of years. He looked healthy. He was making the right throws. You know, even without Connor, who got hurt.
Oh, Jesus. Don't even get me started on Connor.
I know. Hey, did you win fantasy this week?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Phil.
I lost by 0.5. I lost by a half of a goddamn point last night because Connor decided to have a little ankle injury.
Well, I don't think he really made that choice. I think that
yeah, play through it. Happens. You're in the NFL. Play through it.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow. You can't screw with fantasy my fantasy team like that.
You're talking like a guy that's just on the ledge, Phil.
Oh, I was none too happy last night. I went to bed upset and I woke up upset. Not to mention the fact I had to watch that whole Denver game last night because I had Brandon McManus. They only decided to score two touchdowns, which only led to two extra points, which thus led me to losing my matchup. So nobody cares about my fantasy team, but
I cruised to victories in both of my leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up going 2-1, so I can't fully complain, but I should have had this victory. If Juju doesn't catch that last touchdown at the end, I would have won no problem, but I felt that it was a little selfish for Ben to give Juju two touchdowns. I mean, you know, spread it around to Deontay Johnson or even give it to Benny Snell for all I care, but you had to go to Juju, huh? Very selfish of him. Very selfish.
Very selfish.
Oh, my God. But, you know, again, I was excited to start the game. I was excited to watch it, watch them all run out of the tunnel, get that feeling again. You know, we all saw no fans in the stadium for Monday night. It was weird to see that. I still don't understand how you're going to let fans in some stadiums and others you're not going to. I don't understand how that's going to work with the competitive balance, especially in a place like Kansas City on Thursday night. They only had, 13,000, but it sounded like, you know, 50. Like that was a distinct advantage, though.
Yeah, but I guess the NFL said if you have fans, you're not allowed to pipe volume in.
No, but and that's fine. I'm talking about, you know, crowd noise, because you don't think crowd noise affected that Saints game in the Superdome against the Bucks at all? That place is loud.
I didn't watch any of that game. I was working.
But just in general, I mean, the Superdome is loud on a typical Sunday afternoon. But maybe, I don't know.
Maybe that's what got into Tom Brady's head. Poor baby lost. When was the last time Tom Brady lost a season opener?
I don't know, but listen, he scored that first touchdown on his own. He called his own number and jumped in the end zone, and that was pretty much it for the rest of the game. I know you didn't get to watch any of it, but he started out on fire and then came right back down to earth, and that was all she wrote, really.
Well, I mean, New Orleans is a very good football team.
Oh, agreed. Now it's
probably going to be. I think they got to play Kansas City this year. I think Tampa Bay does. I mean, so you got to argue that, you know, between Tampa and Kansas City, I mean, those are going to be the two best teams that they're going to play this year. So Atlanta looked okay, but I mean, I think, and I'm all on the Seattle bandwagon. You guys laughed at me. And
no, they look good.
They put up a shelling on Atlanta. And that's even with Calvin Ridley scoring, what, two or three touchdowns, and they still won.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the schedule here after this week. You know, we talk about the Bear game. Then they play San Francisco, which, you know, we saw them against Arizona, and I do think that Super Bowl hangover is pretty real, because the Niners didn't exactly run away with that game. That was close throughout, and then Arizona pulls away at the end. You know, the Rams, they're tougher defense. Then you got the Cowboys. Listen, the Cowboys lost Vander Esch, and they just lost their tight end. I forget his name.
Yeah. Vander Esch is out, I think, like 6 to 8 weeks. And, yeah, the tight end, I'm drawing a blank on, but he tore his ACL, so he's done.
Yeah, he's done. So, I mean, they're already starting to fall apart. And I mean, listen, there's nothing that makes me happier on a Sunday night than going to bed knowing Dallas lost. So anytime I can see that. And let me tell you something. Did I tell you that the Eagles were not going to be a good team? They have holes. You want to talk about the Giants having holes on the offense. The Eagles are in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah, Washington didn't look good in the first half, but they came back out, and boy, oh boy, did they look like a different team, huh?
Yeah, Washington does have a pretty good defense, but the Eagles just let them right back in that game. I don't know. The Eagles just don't scare me at all. I don't know. So Steelers lost. Bears, I got to look at the line. I think the Bears are. I heard it this afternoon. I think it's their minus. I think they're minus six. If I hear it correctly. Then they got to go to Rams, and they got to play at the Cowboys. That's. I don't know. The Niners first. But I say at least steal the Bear game, and then you'll feel a little better about yourselves. I don't know. Looking at from what you saw last night, we all had our expectations about what we're hearing from everybody. Yeah, the Giants defense going to be awful. They're going to be bleeding points. Like, that did not happen last night. I don't see too many. Who on this schedule is going to run him out of the gym? The Bears? I don't think so. Niners. Kittle's hurt. Who knows if Kittle's even going to be playing in a couple weeks? He's got a knee injury or something, right?
Yeah, he hyperextended his knee. That's not good for my fantasy team.
No.
I don't think it's going to matter next week against the Jets.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
We will. But I'm just.
I don't have anything to say about that.
But you know, the Rams, Cowboys, Washington, Philly. I mean, there's nobody here that's going to run the Giants out of the stadium, in my opinion. So
listen. I hope for your sake that's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not. I mean,
it's not like they have to play. It's not like they have to play Kansas City, Baltimore. You know, all the high scoring, high powered offenses here. Saints. They do have the Bucks, but I mean, the Bucks barely put up. I don't know. I know you didn't see any of it, so it's tough for you to make a clear, you know, conclusion on it. But you know, they didn't look great. You wouldn't even know Gronk was out there last week.
I know he was absent. What, two catches for like 6 yards?
That's it.
Yeah, but the Bucks are going to be a different team by the time they play them in week.
Yeah, it's like 7 or 8 here.
I think it's 8. Week 8.
Yeah, week 8. You're probably right.
They're gonna be a different team. I mean, I hope that they they can get going, because somebody in New York's got to win, and I don't mean Buffalo.
No. But so we'll put a bow on this, because I know you're chomping at the bit here, because you got a lot on your mind here for the Jets here. But I'll say overall it was better than my expectation. But obviously we all knew the holes that are there. At least I saw a couple of glimmers of hope and a couple of signs of, you know, hopefully of improvement. But it's not like we went into this game and you're like, all right, they're not going to win a game all season. You can see little things here and there. Is it gonna meticulate into any wins? I don't know, but at least I have the feeling right now that they're not gonna get, like I said before, blown out of any of these games at the moment. That's my thought. We'll see what happens after they play the Bears and Trubisky. Because listen, Trubisky looked like crap the first half, and he decided to play in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get the first half Trubisky all year, or I'm sorry, all game, I like our chances.
I agree.
Just block so Saquon can just get something, because we saw when he gets the ball in open space, he's hurdling guys like he's, you know, on the track there. So as long
that was impressive, that hurdle.
Yeah, just get him in open space, and we all know what he can do. The problem is you got to get him to that open space, and that remains to be seen. So I don't know what they're going to work on. I don't know what they're going to work on in practice this week, but whatever Joe Judge feels is going to help them block, I figure it out, because that's. Unfortunately, it was on Monday Night Football for the world to see.
I will say this before we move on to the Jets, because this is a good segue into the Jets. I was impressed with the way Joe Judge coached on the sideline. You know, he showed some fire. He showed some grit. They were competitive to a point. And then after the game, he came out and called it exactly like it was.
Yeah, you know, he didn't sugarcoat anything.
No, I give him credit for that. Let's hope that's the fire that the Giants have been lacking in their coach since, you know, the early years of Tom Coughlin, right, when he was just fiery and a grumpy old man. You know, they haven't had that since then. I wish that my coach was something similar to that, because I can tell you what Adam Gase is besides a buffoon. Adam Gase is a disgrace to the New York Jets, and the Jets have been disgraceful for 50 friggin' years. What I saw on Sunday was not even football. It was so pathetic, Phil. The fact that you could have that much time to prepare, that much time to get your ducks in a row on a team that you knew who you were going to play. You knew what the game plan was. The game plan was going to be that Allen was going to throw the ball mediocrely, and he was going to use his legs to beat you. And they still couldn't figure it out. This game should have been 28-0 in the first quarter if he didn't fumble on the end zone.
They fumbled twice in the red zone.
Right. This game should have been 40-0 at halftime if he didn't fumble twice, and if the kicker couldn't miss two kicks. That's not true. I was actually at one point, I was at a complete loss of words. It was so bad. It was such bad football that I couldn't, like, this guy's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, right? Our quarterback looked like crap. He looked awful, and he'll be the first to say it. Like, I give Sam credit. He came out and said, listen, I didn't play well. This is on me. It's not just on him. Like, I'm not ready to just sell him off to the pasture. I'm not ready to. But, you know, there's multiple things that I look at this. One, there's a lack of depth on this team. Bell's now on injured reserve. He's not coming back until week 5. You mean to tell me that this team is going to rely on a 37-year-old Frank Gore?
Actually, I think I saw that they brought in Kalen Ballage today. If that makes you excited.
Oh, give me a friggin' break. Like that's – come on. Listen, here's what I can tell you. Miami didn't want him. Miami didn't want you, chances are I don't know what Adam Gase is even thinking. I don't get it. Like, first off, you're wearing a mask, bro. Like, you don't have to put the play sheet over your face like they're reading your lips. You're wearing a goddamn mask. You look like an idiot.
He wants to make sure.
Do you know how many times that drove me off the wall on Sunday? He's wearing his hat almost down to his nose. He's wearing a mask almost to his eyes, and he covers his face with the play sheet. Like, people are going to – listen, if anybody could read your mind, I know what your mind says. I'm a loser. I can't coach. Get me out of here. Because I can promise you, if the Jets are uncompetitive in these next 3 or 4 weeks, he has to go, Phil. He has to. They were not prepared to play football on Sunday. Do you agree?
No. I mean, yes, I agree. I mean, and you're right. That score, 27-17, is not indicative of how that went. And you know, I didn't get a ton of the Jet game at first. I was able to, you know, use Game Pass and watch a little more after the fact. But so every time I'm watching Red Zone, every time they go to that game, I mean, at least for the first 2.5 quarters, it was Josh Allen's got the ball. Josh Allen's got the ball. Josh Allen's got the ball. It wasn't until the Jets got that 2-minute drive going where that actually, you know, cut to that game and the Jets had the ball. I don't think they end up scoring on that drive. I don't think I remember. It was the one right before the half.
They got a field goal.
So maybe that's what it was.
At the end of the half.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's like icing on shit.
I jokingly texted you and I said, well, at least the 2-minute drill is spot on.
Give me a break, Phil. I just don't like. This team is not built, and especially now without Bell, who, by the way, I said to you in the earlier podcast, and I've been saying to you and Dan on the three-man show, Bell is gone. Bell is going to get traded as soon as they can find somebody to take him, and the Jets are probably going to have to eat some of his salary. Gase doesn't like him. He doesn't want him, and now that he's injured,
do you think he secretly
just even –
I was going to say, do you think he's secretly...
I don't think there's anything secret about
no,
him.
No, no,
no. He twisted his leg. I mean, he had a legitimate injury.
Yeah, no, no. I'm saying, do you think Gase is secretly like, I don't have to worry about playing him anymore because I didn't want him from the beginning?
Maybe. I have no idea, but I can promise you this. If they utilize them in the proper way, they are a better football team with him on the field. The challenge is that your run blocking is awful. Your pass blocking was better. It was better than it was last year. Sam made some bad throws, and he'll be the first to say it. He missed a lot of open receivers. He had a couple sacks that were on him. The interception was god-awful. If I need to see him throw across his body into the middle of the field again, I'm going to throw something through my goddamn TV. They teach you that in Pop Warner not to do that. In the pros, when you're playing against people who are the elite of the elite, you do not throw the goddamn football in the middle of the field while you're rolling out to the right. I'm sorry. You just don't do it.
Nope. That's. I mean, listen, I was never a quarterback, but even I know that.
It's just – listen, if they lost – and 27-17, they lost, right?
Right.
You read that line, you say, okay, well, it was competitive. The challenge is that it's not indicative to how poorly they actually played.
Right. It's almost – so the Giants lost 26-16 or whatever it was. I mean, that game was – it's almost the same score, almost the same, you know, margin of victory there, but the games were completely different.
100%. I was just going to say, like, you feel different about both sets of games. There's no way that any person can tell me with a straight face that the Jets are the worst team of football. Cleveland was awful. They were terrible.
They ran into a buzzsaw.
Right. Cleveland's also playing Baltimore, and Baltimore is going to be the top 2, 3, 4 teams in the league. Okay. Buffalo is a good football team. They are not going to be, you know, I'm winning the Super Bowl this year. At least I don't think that they are. If they had come out and they had lost to a good football team by playing good, I would not be as mad.
Yeah. You can accept that.
This is just like, right. This is, I mean, the way you ended last season, and everyone was like, oh, well, you ended 6-2. You were on a high note, this, that, and the other thing. You know, maybe Gase has figured it out. You haven't.
So to piggyback off that, the way they ended the year last year, do you feel they're on that same pace or they're going backwards after one game of this year?
Well, they have the third hardest schedule in the league this year, right?
I was just looking at that. Yeah, they got the Niners next. Let's play a quick game. Win loss. Niners.
No, because don't even do it because you're gonna have a loss the whole way. I had them at 4-12. The way they played on Sunday, I don't know if they win more than two games. And then the question becomes, is Sam your guy?
Right? Yes, yes. He's always him and Saquon will always be tied together, whether or not, you know, who made the right pick. And that's just going to, it's going to be, that's natural. It's going to happen.
And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. What is the challenge? Is Sam a good quarterback? I think that Sam's a good quarterback. Does he make boneheaded plays? He 100% makes boneheaded plays. He made boneheaded plays when he played at USC, right? So the question becomes, is you would have hoped that Adam Gase would have brought him out of that and taught him. Everybody puts Adam Gase on this pedestal because he's this offensive genius and this quarterback guru. Jesus Christ, when he got that, he was coaching Peyton Manning. Well, Phil, if you and I coached Peyton Manning, you and I could sit in a recliner drinking, you know, high noons until we couldn't stand up anymore. Peyton Manning's the coach of that team. Adam Gase didn't do shit.
Agreed. So take out the Peyton Manning thing for a second. Go back a couple of years to Ryan Tannehill. He has Ryan Tannehill in Miami, basically throws him out of Miami. Tannehill goes to Tennessee and is a couple of plays away from, you know, maybe making a Super Bowl appearance.
Tannehill didn't play super bad the other night, last night.
No, so. That's my point. So when he had him in Miami, I mean, he was almost like a joke, right? They were like, you know, remember when he signed in Tennessee? We're like, I can't believe they signed Tannehill. We're like, look what he did in Miami, nothing. And obviously that was a product of coaching, I think.
My fear is that we're going down this rabbit hole again. And every damn year we go through the same rabbit hole. Is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? Is it both? I mean, you know, I can't deal with it anymore. I'm so tired of losing, and it's the same redundant conversation every goddamn year. Every year it's the same thing, right? Every year by week two we do this, and you say to me, and you try to get my blood going, and
I do.
I say the same thing. How can they be this bad already? They looked awful. They looked like Alabama could have beaten them yesterday. I mean, on Sunday. They were awful. So is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? Is it the defensive scheme? Is it the offensive scheme? If it's the offensive scheme, it goes to the coach because the coach is the offensive guru. But are you just going to sell all the chips? And because if they get the number one pick, how do you not get Trevor Lawrence?
That will be a very interesting conversation.
Okay, well, let's have the conversation. How do you not? Because listen, they're going to be in the top five. If they play like this, they're going to be in the top five. They could be the. Listen, everybody thought Jacksonville was going to shit the bed. They went out and they beat your Super Bowl winners, God. By the way.
I
Wait, by the way, you, me, you, and Dan immediately out of the knockout pool. Wow.
They took that first drive and they marched right down the field, right down Jacksonville's throat, punched in a touchdown. And I said, cocky, of course. I said, this is over. We're going to win this. I can't even explain what happened. Gardner Minshew had one incompletion, one for the entire game. That's incredible. Against the defense that's supposed to be top of the league. And you know what? Shame on me. Shame on all of us for trusting Phillip Rivers. I thought a new team, I thought a new venue, I thought a new everything for him was gonna help. It looks like the Chargers all over again. He can't throw the ball downfield. I was real pissed about that on Sunday. I couldn't believe that happened.
Well, whether or not they like it, they're stuck with him, and then next year they gotta figure out what they're gonna do. But you didn't answer my questions.
I went off on a tangent.
Yeah, that's fine. If the Jets – I do that all the time, by the way. If the Jets have the number one pick, how do you not pick Trevor Lawrence?
Because Trevor Lawrence is going to pull an Eli Manning and say, I'm not playing for them.
Well, would you want to play for the Jets?
No, you're right. How do you not pick them?
They are 100% dysfunctional. Well, unless you get rid of the coach and Sam shows you something – like something. Now listen, when Sam plays well, and he's given time in the pocket, and he's making plays, and he's throwing the ball downfield. If I see another goddamn 1 yard slant pass, I I'm gonna throw something through my TV. I'm tired of seeing it. There's no creativity in the offense. Everybody knows when you have three men out to the right, you're going to play – you're going to have a wide receiver screen. The guy got tackled every single time. What is the point of bringing Perriman in that's going to be your deep ball threat if you're not going to throw the ball more than 10 yards?
Yeah.
How many times did he throw a pass down 10 yards? Five times maybe? Maybe five? He threw the ball 40 times. And by the way, how aggravated are Jets fans? Robbie Anderson
with
the house
say.
On fire, right? We don't want to pay him because, you know, we have a good enough team. You guys are so full of shit. I'm so tired of it. You let good quality players walk out the door all the time because you think you're better than everybody. And he goes and he plays for Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Rhule and Carolina, and nobody thinks Carolina is going to be any good. And Robbie Anderson has 130 yards receiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamison Crowder had 100 yards receiving, and that's what people will say. Jamison Crowder caught a one-yard slant pass and made seven guys miss and ran it to the house.
That was a nice play. That was what?
But he should have been tackled seven times.
Well, no, I'm saying that he turned that into a very good play. But I mean, how selfishly did that make your blood boil to see Robbie Anderson put up those numbers with a different team?
It's just icing on the cake, Phil. It's all the time. It's all the time. They're going to – George Kittle playing or not, they are going to get smoked next week. And they're going to get smoked because San Francisco blew a lead against Arizona, and they're going to come out and they're going to say, it's the Jets. We're going to slice their throats and then step on them just for good measure. This is going to be a complete dumpster fire. And you know what? From my lips to God's ears, I hope it's a goddamn blowout because I don't want Adam Gase to be my coach anymore. I'm done. I didn't want him last year after 3 weeks, and everyone said, oh, you got to give him a year. You got to give him – I think the word is out, Phil.
Yeah.
This guy cannot coach. He cannot coach. And the fact that he got another opportunity to coach when Mike McCarthy was sitting there and other qualified coaches, the offensive coordinator from Kansas City, who for whatever reason can't get a job, but the offense for Kansas City is just lighting everybody up. He can't get a job. Are you kidding me? And you picked Adam Gase.
Yeah.
That was your guy. Holy shit.
I'm speechless. I don't have anything to add to that. It was a tough showing.
It's funny because we're doing this on Zoom this year, and we have video going at the same time. And Phil can actually see my face getting redder and redder as we're doing this. I
tried to think of a couple things to help egg you on, but I'm at a loss. I can't think of anything.
Pretty soon Lori's going to come in here and she's going to say that I need to be quiet because Caitlin's trying to sleep. Listen, I just want to see competitive football.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm not asking for wins. I know this team is not very good. I know that. But what I want to see is competitive football.
Yeah, show some fights. 27-17
just seems competitive. It wasn't even close.
No, and you said it should have been, you know, 30-0 by halftime.
More than that. It was 21-0, and he fumbled the ball twice in the red zone. So there's another 14 points. Let's just say that there, one's a touchdown and one's a field goal. Okay, that's another 10 points. That's 31.
Yeah.
And then the guy missed two field goals. So it's 40 points. It should have been 40-0. It wasn't even competitive.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
And I go back to thinking about what you said last week about there's going to be no fans in the stands. At least with the Jets home opener, it won't be full of red for Niners gear.
We went to – I don't know if you were with us. We went to a Jets-Niners game. This was years ago. It was the game that Santonio Holmes got the Liz Frank. Like, he caught the ball. He made a turn upfield. Something popped in his foot, and he just fell. It dropped the ball. And San Francisco took it right back. And this is pretty typical of Jets home games. It was all red. All red. You're absolutely right. That's the only good thing that the Jets have going for them this year is that there's really no home field advantage.
No, for the opposing team. None. It looks so. I think I heard Aaron Rodgers talk today, and he goes, for the first time in the history of him playing football, he was actually able to hear his own sideline clap when they made a positive play. He goes, that's the first time I've ever heard that, because you're so used to, you know, 80,000 people screaming that there's a bunch of little things you don't get.
Aaron Rodgers played really well. It's
yes,
good
he
thing
did.
You took that. Good thing you used that first round draft pick on a quarterback, right?
Not like
he needed a weapon or anything, you know, like maybe somebody to help him on the defensive side of the ball, or another wide receiver to go with Devontae Adams, you know, none of that stuff. Go for a quarterback.
No. This is going to be the ultimate double middle finger year for Aaron Rodgers. He's like, fine, you want to draft a quarterback in the first round? All right, fine, here you go. You want to draft a running back with your second pick when we already have two of them? All right, here you go. He is going to sling the ball, and to my benefit, to Devontae Adams, for 17 straight games. I mean, this guy, I don't have it in front of me, but I know he had, what, 15 catches or something like that? I mean, he must have had 20 targets. I mean, it was incredible.
He played really well against a really good defensive team in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is awful.
Do you still wish you had Kirk Cousins at this point, or is that ship kind of sailed? I mean, I know it was between them and Minnesota, and he went to Minnesota, but would you really be in any different position if you had Kirk Cousins right now?
I mean, maybe we would be a little bit better. I mean, again, I don't. The Jets on paper have a good enough team to be competitive. That's the other frustrating part. If Bell is utilized properly, and now he's not, you know, obviously he's hurt now. If you had a capable coach calling plays, you would be competitive. Greg Williams got crushed the first half. He came out in the second half and made adjustments. The defense made adjustments in the second half to play better. Buffalo only scored 6 points in the second half.
Yes, that's it. You're right.
Yeah, okay. So the defensive coach makes adjustments, right?
Well, that's the knock on Gase. Does he ever even make adjustments during the game?
Oh, this was the same crap that I was telling you last year, and everybody was like, buddy, you got to calm down. I mean, this Dan was like, you got to give him a year.
The year's up.
How much more do you want me to give this guy?
The year's up right now. All right, so just in front, I'm going to check out the lines for here for next week. Oh, boy.
Oh, can I guess?
Oh,
I don't know
boy.
The lines. You know the lines.
San Francisco and the Jets. I'll tell you what you want to know what it opened at? Or do you want to just
probably
guess?
It probably opened at like 14 and a half.
No. It opened at -4. San Francisco
what?
-4. Oh yeah, San Francisco. That's why when I first looked at it, I was like, oh boy. Yeah, it opened at right now it's so guess what it is now? It opened at 4.
Well, now they don't know if Greg Kittle's playing, so it's probably 2.5.
No, 7. Went the other way. You have no Bell too, so.
Oh yeah, it's true. But I mean, he's a non-factor anyway. Please, Phil, you and I could play running back. We just get as many touches as Le'Veon Bell.
So yeah, so San Francisco -7.
Listen, I lay the points all day.
Yeah, I mean the way you're talking, it's gonna be a beating.
And where was Chris Herndon, by the way? Chris Herndon is supposed to be
he had six receptions.
Breakout star, right?
Yeah, but I mean he got seven. He caught 6 out of 7 balls, so that's not terrible. I mean he only netted 37 yards, but.
And then he fumbled.
Yeah, that's true. He did fumble.
Time of possession. You want to know what the time of possession was for the Jets?
Well, so like I said before, because I was watching Red Zone, and every time they went to that game, Buffalo had the ball. It had to be like at least 2-1.
Possession for the Jets. How many minutes? Go.
23.
18.
Oh, that's worse than I thought. I was giving them credit.
Buffalo had 41 minutes and 16 seconds.
Oh. that's about. Yeah, it's a little more than 2-1. Boy, yeah, that's. Listen, you said before with the Giants not being able to block and have a run game. If you can't possess the ball for longer than 20 minutes a game, you're not winning any games either. What was it? So I was trying to see what it was real quick. I mean, was it just a bunch of three? Let's see, punt. Yeah, punt. A lot of three and outs. 5 plays, 3 plays, 3 plays. Interception. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of long, sustainable drive. Fumble. Not a lot of long drives here.
Phil. Listen, I was watching it. I watched the first drive of the game. The first drive of the season lasted about 45 seconds. I said, well, this season's over.
You were close. It was a minute and 16, three plays for 3 yards.
You friggin' break.
You were close. The next one's a little better. It was three plays for 1 yard and 2 minutes. The next drive after that was three plays for 0 yards for 30 seconds long.
I would love like 1 week if my dad could figure out how to do this.
Oh boy, I would love
come
that.
Come on with us.
Absolutely love that.
I mean,
you gotta set that up.
Well, he'd have to take like 15 more Lipitors and all his Plavix and whatever other heart medication.
Oh, we have to make that happen one of these days.
Literally, the kickoff happened, and he texted my brother and I, and he was like, I cannot believe how bad they are. All they did was receive the kickoff. That's it.
Yeah, I seem to have been left off that text string, which is fine.
That's why I love him, because he's a realist.
Oh, we got that's going to be the theme for this year, is we're going to make that happen somehow. When's his birthday? Is it in the fall time, or is it in the springtime?
It's October.
Perfect. Buy him a microphone and set him up on Zoom. Done. All right, let me go. All right, so let's go to the Giants game here. All right, so the Giants game opened at now it's in Chicago. So it opened up Bears -5. So what do you think the current line is?
It's probably still there.
It's 4.5. So it moved a half a point in our favor. Yeah, no, not a lot, which these really tend not to, but it did move. The money's on the Giants at the moment. Like, that's why it moved down to 4.5. Again, homer pick. I hope they win the game outright, but I feel like they can at least keep this one a little bit more competitive and closer, because Mitchell Trubisky is not Ben Roethlisberger. And listen, the way that it's going, Allen Robinson might not even be playing this weekend. He wants a new contract, and he's already fighting with management there about trying to get an extension that they're not going to give him. He's taken down all his Instagram stuff with his Bears logos on it. It sounds like he's not happy there in Chicago.
Well, he can come to the Jets.
That'd be nice, right?
We need a wide receiver. We have no wide receivers.
Yeah, but they don't want to pay Robbie Anderson.
Demarius Thomas is still out there. At least Demarius Thomas is a legitimate receiver. Yeah, he's on his last legs, but he can catch the ball. He did okay for the Jets last year.
Where is Demarius Thomas? Right? Is he free agent?
He's sitting at home.
Okay, they didn't bring him back.
They didn't bring anybody back.
No, they got rid of everybody.
They got rid of everybody that was good. Oh, Jamal Adams wants to trade? Yeah, let's trade him to Seattle because they need more talent.
He seems to be very happy in Seattle, too. What was that thing he Twittered?
I just dropped the F-bomb. I don't really care anymore. And then he comes out. Did you hear his post-game conference? He's like, I'm not used to playing for a team that scores 38. Lick my asshole, dude. No shit that you haven't. You're not used to playing for a team that puts up offensive points.
He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Give me a break.
The poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
Poor guy.
I hope he enjoys the Super Bowl this year.
Well, listen. According to you, Seattle's going to almost run the table, so we'll see what happens. They look good week one against Atlanta, but listen, Atlanta. You want to talk about no defense? I mean, Atlanta is going to bleed bleeding points. Thank God they can. Hopefully run out, you know, they can return the favor on offense, but they're going to be in a lot of, they're going to be behind a lot next year.
So Seattle's got to play New England next week. I'm not sold on New England. I mean, Cam looked good.
They played Miami.
They played Miami.
Yeah, that's a tough litmus test.
And Fitz looked like Fitz. I mean, he had 3 interceptions, you know what I mean? So, let Cam go against a really good defense against a team that can score some points. Then they got to play Dallas. I mean, Dallas played okay, but you know, like you said, they're now without their best defensive player, and they just lost their tight end. So who knows what they're going to get? Then they got to play Miami and Minnesota. I mean, they could be 5-0 going into the bye.
Who?
Seattle.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about the Patriots. I was like, they're not going to be 5-0. But yeah, you're right. Seattle could be, yes.
No, New England's got to play Miami, which they already won, obviously. They got to play Seattle, Las Vegas. Las Vegas didn't look terrible.
No, but they also played.
Josh Jacobs is a beast.
Yeah, but Carolina is also an awful defense, too.
Yeah, and especially without Kuechly in the middle.
Yeah.
Seattle, Vegas, Kansas City, Denver. So you got to think maybe New England is 3-2 at the best. I mean, I don't think they beat Seattle. I don't have them beating Vegas. I definitely don't have them beating Kansas City. I don't know.
Well.
Jets are going to go winless.
So I take it you're taking San Francisco and laying the points this week.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. What are you doing for the Giants-Chicago game?
It's a tough one. Four and a half points is like just like it's like a tease bet, you know?
You want to say the Giants. I know you want to say it.
Yeah. I'll take the Giants, which I don't like because I have Chicago's defense, but
that'll be fine.
Fantasy team, but I don't think it's going to be a very high scoring game.
I'd be okay with that.
But I think they win outright. I think the Giants win outright.
If that happens, then anything that happened this prior Monday night will kind of, you know, be a little bit forgiven because we all know how good Pittsburgh is and how Pittsburgh's going to be. This is not going to be the first team that they do that to. There's going to be a lot of running backs that will not have good days against the second coming of the Steel Curtain here. So we will see what happens.
Now, if Daniel Jones turns the ball over and he has boneheaded interceptions and he fumbles the ball again.
Yep. Yeah. Then you're going back to last year. I mean, you're right.
Oh, we're going, not only are we going back to last year, I think Chicago cleans them up.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, I did see before we call it a wrap here. There were a couple ones when Daniel Jones did run. I mean, he held the ball like Tiki Barber used to, and he used to just like cradle it in with both hands on the ball. Like he's making a concerted effort to not fumble that ball. So that's at least good improvement to see.
Yep. I agree.
All right, everybody, we will take this and see what happens this week, and I hope for everyone's sake the Jets are a little more competitive next week because, you know, we want Happy Bud for once. You know, we're so used to.
I am happy. I don't know what you're talking about.
We can tell. Let's hope for better outcomes next week, and we will talk to everyone next week.